Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
And now then, so Dustin Johnson won the WGC in Mexico at the weekend. Rory McIlroy finished second. That makes it four top five finishes in a row for McIlroy on the PGA Tour, something he's never actually managed before. So there was a real consistency about his play just now. He's up to sixth in the world and firmly trending in the right direction, it seems. You would have watched the WGC in Mexico on Sky Sports. Paul McGinley was there and he's with us now. Evening, Paul.
Hello, Joe. How are you doing?
Yeah, great to have you with us. Thanks so much for joining us. So right from McIlroy's season debut in Hawaii, I know you were on with us around then and you liked what you saw. He has continued that form. There is a consistency now about this very good play this year.
Yeah. When we spoke after Hawaii, I noticed it. I saw a different vibe to him. I saw the way he played. His putting looks really good. I mean, whatever about holding putts, he was starting them where he was aiming. But, you know, when you get the camera behind, it's always a good sign. Then it's a question of have you read it right and have you hit the right speed. And he's certainly starting them on the line that he's looking at. So, yeah, those vibes are good then. And it's carried through the last month or so. I mean, you have to say, I mean, to be honest, last week was as good as I've seen Rory play for a number of years, if not ever. I mean, he really was that good. All facets of his game, there was no weakness there.
You've played that course. I heard you talking on commentary at altitude in Mexico. And obviously the altitude changes things somewhat. But, I mean, some of the shots we saw him hitting from the tee. Incidentally, he led tee to green. He was number one strokes gained. He was the best in the field tee to green. Some of the shots, all of them were hitting, frankly, were slightly outrageous.
Yeah, they were. I mean, I played that course, as you say, last year. I played it on the Monday of the tournament, even if it is at altitude. I mean, that first hole where he had two iron on, I hit a driver as good as I could hit a front edge. the game is just unbelievable, Joe. It really is. I mean, you look at the third, fourth hole, that dogleg left, 320 carry. Okay, it's at altitude, but, you know, you give it 10% even. You know, it's still, you know, 290 in the air, and they're carrying it 40 yards past that. It's quite extraordinary, quite incredible. And for me, one of the most intriguing things about last week was watching how Tiger felt he could compete by hitting irons off the tee and you know, slowly kind of picking away at the golf course. And it's interesting to see an old-style kind of style play, if you want to contrast that against the modern guys like DJ and Rory in particular, and even Justin Thomas at the weekend. You know, and the question was, why did you play so well on Sunday? You know, he shot 62, I think, on Sunday. Why did you play so well? Oh, he says, I just hit driver everywhere. I threw caution to the wind. So it's very funny to watch the contrasting style. Even, you know, Tiger, as great as he is, and he won on Ace Lake, which was kind of a golf course you could kind of pick apart slowly, but it was interesting to see that contrast between a modern style player and Tiger Woods, you know, whose iron play was spectacular. But it's very hard to compete when those guys are driving as long and as straight as they are.
Do you know, it was interesting, as a brief tangent, I know mainly we're meant to talk about McIlroy here, but Padraig Harrington was on the station recently and he was echoing your point about the modern player. And he was saying, at the moment, the way the game has gone, you're just better off going for broke. You're better off having that one hot week as opposed to methodically playing consistently well over 5, 6, 7 weeks, because the top players now are going for everything in the knowledge that everybody around them is as well, and they just hope it's their week and things fall their way, and when they go for the green, it pays off. But this business, this old style, if you want to call it that, of methodically picking your way around a golf course is just not really going to pay dividends, certainly not to the extent it used to.
Well, I mean, if you're a gambler, you're putting the odds against yourself all the time. You know, I mean, on average last week, the stats told us he was 38 yards behind Rory and who drove the ball better than anybody. He was on average 38 yards behind him on every par four and every par five. I mean, that's a huge, huge odds against that he's putting himself in by not hitting driver and not taking on the golfers. To be honest, not able to do it. Having said that, let's just put it in perspective. Not every golf course is like last week, where it really does reward the hitter who can bomb it as far as he can, drive three par fours and hit, you know, three par fives that are comfortably on and two for them. And if any tournaments do favour that kind of style of play that Tiger was playing, it is the major championships. They're the ones that have the most tests, because it's not just a test of hitting it on the fairway and slowly picking the golf course apart with less high scoring, but it's also the Masters, more than anything, is becoming a real test of guile now and a real test of heart and who can get over the line and who's not afraid of winning a major championship, because they all measure themselves by major championships, which is great. But at the same time, that puts massive pressure on themselves, because they know they're going to be they measure themselves by major championships.
You would hope it stays that way in the majors, wouldn't you? I mean, as entertaining in a way as it is watching them hit the ball a bazillion miles for the green, you do want a bit more guile required. You do want that extra layer when it comes to majors.
Oh, absolutely. I'm very much old school when it comes to this, Joe. I think a big hitting, of course, it should always be an important part in the game. It always has been. It always will be. But what about straightness? You know, I mean, I saw a stat recently in the PGA Tour last year. Missing a fairway in the PGA Tour cost 0.1 of a shot. So the question they're asking nowadays on the PGA Tour is, you can be really, really long, but not necessarily straight. It doesn't really matter. Mm. And for me, the game should also be about straightness. The US Open, the last 2-3 years, I've been really disappointed how the USGA set up the golf courses. I stood on the 18T last year in Shinnecock during my prep. And I stood on, honestly, I was thinking, how can you miss this fairway? I've never seen anything so wide for an 18th hole in the US Open. Yes, they ended up then having to trick the greens up just to get the scoring close to moderate, you know, and close to level par, which they always want to do, which is what you don't want to do. And then he went over the line, and of course, we had a big hoo-ha about it. So that's kind of what's happening with the modern game. And unless we address this situation with technology and address it very soon, the game is out of balance.
Yeah. The Ryder Cup on European soil will be the only test requiring fairways to be hit.
Well, I mean, it just shows you, Joe. I mean, you put those guys in the back foot. They had no clue. I mean, the quality of team they had, that was arguably one of the worst ever performances we've seen from an American team at the Ryder Cup, because they were so out of the comfort zone, because not even the US Open anymore is testing the ability to hit the ball really straight.
So with McIlroy, the talent always has been undoubted, and maybe over the last 12 months, the players of his generation around him have taken steps forward, and he's maybe even taken a step back at times. And you've consistently made the point that this is about what fight is in him. What fight is in McIlroy as he watches the others around him do very special things as well. So the early indicators are that he's working hard, that there is fight in him, that there is pride in him, and we're seeing it.
Yeah, I mean, I've said that. I've always said that about McIlroy. He's an inspirational player, needs to be inspired. Something needs to happen for him to ignite it. You know, you look at a guy who's all of a sudden has a surge of form, no matter who it may be, and you look behind the scenes and you say, okay, what's going on there? You try to get to the bottom of what's inspired and what's brought him to the front all of a sudden. Is it a new coach? Is it a new putting style? Is it, you know, a new influence in him? Is it the fact that he's got a new girlfriend, or he's got a new, you know, he's having a baby, or there's something inspirational normally goes on behind the scenes? And for me, it's quite clear that the addition to McIlroy's team of Brad Faxon has been the big reason why all of a sudden he's come to the fore. I think Brad is a disciple of Barbara Telos, who I believe is, you know, just fantastic at what he teaches. And you know, great success with Cardiff for one over the years. And I think indirectly he's now a disciple of Barbara Telos, because the stuff that Faxon will be talking to him about will be all stuff that he's learned from Rotella over 2 or 3 decades of working with him. It's about gazing yourself on not putting too much pressure on yourself. It's about having fun about what you're doing. It's about being instinctive to the hole. All of those things which play into the character that Rory McIlroy is.
And are you seeing that in McIlroy's demeanour on the course, or is that, am I looking for something which
isn't
there? Yeah.
No question, Joe. It's clear as day. I mean, just look at the way he's starting to bounce down the fairways again.
Yeah.
Look at the way he's reacting to dropping the shot. The head doesn't go down. He doesn't become a bit surly. Look about how he accepted that ruling last week. You know, yeah, okay, fine, okay, and moved on. You know, and then started making birdies again. I see it everywhere I look with McIlroy. And it's a very welcome thing, because we all know how talented he is. I mean, he's unbelievably talented, Joe. When you stand on the range, you watch all of the guys hit it, and then you watch McIlroy hit it. It's a different level. It really is that good.
Yeah.
And now, you know, he's tied up his short game. His putting is really good, and his wedge play was very good last week too. He's starting to get a feel with the wedge play. Still got ways to go there, but there's certainly improvements there. And again, I really do think that Brad Faxon, who's a super guy, smart guy, intelligent guy, very mature guy, and of course, he's been through the ringer in this game. He knows ups and downs in it, and I think you know, from what I understand, he's spending a lot of time with Rory, and I think he's a really positive influence on him.
Yeah, good, because I mean, I appreciate McIlroy likes to be his own boss. That's very evident in the way he's conducted all of his affairs.
That's an understatement, Joe.
Yeah, it sure is. But certainly with his putting, you felt, and you're looking in from afar, we all are, but you felt he may need the help. He may have needed someone to guide him out of the malaise he was in, and you know, an hour here or there with Faxon probably wasn't going to cut it. You need that regular contact you suspected when it came to his putting. So it's kind of good to hear he's actually sticking with him.
Yeah, I mean, you got to give credit as well to Phil Kenyon too. You know, Phil made his stroke really strong from a biomechanics point of view. If you stand behind him, which I did a few times last week in the putting green, you know, we were about 4 feet lower than the putting green. So a number of times when we were waiting to go on air, I could see him putting, and I could just see his stroke. I mean, the putter head was coming back on a perfect arc. The ball was starting exactly where he was aiming. Mm. When you do that, as I say earlier, it's a question then of reading the greens and of getting the speed right. And if you can do both of those things, you're going to start holding putts, which is exactly what McIlroy has done. So he's got his mechanics in place. They're probably better now than they've ever been. And I think a lot of credit to Phil Kenyon on that. But once I've got an inspirational player like McIlroy has got his mechanics in place, then it's about what's going on in his head. Then it's about, you know, getting out of your own way and not getting stuck down and bogged down with mechanics, and letting your pure natural talent come through. And I think that's what we're starting to see with McIlroy, why he's come through the last couple of months with four top fives and the way he's done it. For me, that's what it is. He's getting out of his own way and he's letting his talent come through. And hopefully this is going to last for a while and right through the Masters, you know, that it's not just a little surge and he doesn't kind of get dispirited with one or two bad performances and kind of goes on another tangent. It's important that he kind of sticks on the path that he's on.
Yeah, that's right. It is, if you were to take the negative slant on things, it is the eighth successive time he's been in the final pairing and not managed to come through and win. Was Sunday more positive in that, you know, he did shoot a 67. He didn't hand it to Johnson as such. He did force Johnson to go out and shoot a score, which he hasn't always done in the final pairing.
Yeah, I think it's a step in the right direction, Joe, but he's not the finished article in that regard. You know, he's not the ruthless assassin he was 4 or 5 years ago when he was winning major championships. He's not dominating the field the way he did back then. Certainly, you could argue that Dustin Johnson dominated him this weekend.
Yeah.
But again, it's a stepping stone. And this is why I say about not getting dispirited and realizing that he's on the right tracks. It's important that he keeps that going and keeps going on this pathway. Because, you know, one thing for certain, we can't say he lacks guile in any way. You know, he's proved that in the past.
Yeah.
And it's a question of staying on this pathway that he seems to be on and hopefully stays on it. As I say, right through the season, and particularly right through the Masters.
Frankly, it's Johnson's second win of the season. He's beaten two high-quality fields. Every time he wins in that languid style of his, you wonder how he's ever beaten.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he put down a big statement last week, you know what I mean? And a lot of this is psychology as well, too, you know? It's about putting down a statement against one of your peers. And, you know, among all the top guys in the world, they all regard Rory as you know, he's got something special. And they know he's been off the ball the last few years. But they also know that he's be coming back into form again. So, you know, the attitude of Justin Johnson was, okay, McIlroy, let's see what you got. You know, you're coming back into form again. You've had a few top fives. You're certainly good. Let's see what you got here. And I think Johnson put down a big statement against that. I think his wedge play was superb. Not long as his driving wonderful and strokes gained tee to green, as you say, first and second between the two of them. They dominated the golf course. But his wedge play and his putting was spectacular. And that's what separated him ultimately away from McIlroy.
McIlroy confirmed he'll be missing the Irish Open. Very disappointing news. There's no point skirting around it. Did you get a chance to talk to him in person in Mexico?
I did. We didn't talk about the Irish Open. I spent about 15 minutes with him before on the Wednesday. We talked a lot of things, but not the Irish Open. I think the writing was on the wall. He said that at the end of last year. And I know Rory McIlroy very well. And when he makes up his mind, he ain't going to change. He's very dogged in his way and his views that he needs to not play the Irish Open next year. And he needs to play in Scotland because he wants to play in a tournament that, you know, he's played 3 times out of 4 when he's won major championships. And this, he thinks, is the thing that's been missing. And he wants to go and do that. I mean, I'd have my own personal views on that. But, you know, it's only a personal view. At the end of the day, it's interpretation. Most important guy here is McIlroy. And, you know, the proof will be in the pudding as to how he plays in the Open Championship and if it works out for him. But, you know, what can you do? It's disappointing for us in the Irish Open, disappointing for me who's hosting it. But it's going to be a great Irish Open. I can honestly say the excitement down in Southwest Ireland is just incredible. They don't get a lot of sporting events down there. You know, Munster Rugby, Limerick Hurling last year. But, you know, a lot of that stuff is played up in Dublin as well, too. And there's great excitement down there. We're still going to have a very strong field. I've left no stone unturned. I've spoke to everybody, all the top players in the game to get somebody. And hopefully we'll have some more big announcements coming in the next few months. We'll move on. It really is, Joe. It's going to be a great event and great excitement down there.
I've no doubt. I saw you tweet a few photos of Lynch. You forget how beautiful it is down there, you know. And Tommy Fleetwood's playing, which is a big fill-up for the tournament as well. I know you're in a difficult position here because no matter what you say, it'll be blown up into a big headline, I know. So you say you've got your own personal views. Are you half suggesting you're not fully buying into the fact that he can't play 3 weeks in the bounce to produce his best golf? Or do you mean he sort of owes it to the Irish Open to play? Or what is your feeling on the matter?
It's not about owing it to anybody, owing it to me. Or to me, it's not about that. You know, I mean, I kind of like the bloody mindedness about it, to be quite honest. I think you need to have that about you to be a top player in the game. And I think it's lacked a little bit sometimes in the last few years. We haven't seen him being absolutely headstrong. So I don't have a problem with that. But I do have a problem when I think that, you know, if you look at the Scottish Open golf course, it's not a really, really pure links golf course in the same essence that Lahinch is. And if you really want to prepare, personally, I don't think you need to play the week before in order to go and play well. I think you could easily have a quiet weekend. But look, it's all a matter of opinion. I think Lahinch is a really good setup. I've been working with the RNA to get some kind of ideas on fairway widths and green speeds and runoff areas and try to make Lahinch as much aligned. The terrain is not too dissimilar if you think about it. And I'm trying to get it as much aligned so that the guys come here as really good prep for the Open Championship. And I think it's going to be great prep. And you could really argue very strongly that it's going to be better prep than playing a golf course that's not really very similar to how Port Rush is going to play. But look, that's only a matter of opinion, Joe.
Sure.
And, you know, as I say, the proof will be in the pudding. But in some way, I kind of admire the bloody mindedness about him. And I think that's something that can be construed in the wrong way. But to be the top at anything you do in your life, you've got to really have the courage of your convictions. And if that's what he has, that's what he has. And unfortunately, we lose out as Irish people. But he's certainly not moving, turning his back on the Irish Open from everything that he said. And we'll look forward to having him again.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. He said this is a year he's going to be selfish. It was interesting, even just from a psychological point of view, that he was talking very clearly last week to the BBC about Portrush and the Open this year being of more importance to him, of more value to him than winning the Masters. And of course, winning the Open in Northern Ireland would be an unbelievably emotional and iconic moment. But frankly, I wasn't buying it either. You know, a Grand Slam, a career Grand Slam, elevates you to a historic plateau in the game. It is the bigger thing to win. So I don't know, is he trying to tell himself this or kid himself a little bit or take a bit of pressure off Augusta? Hey, why not? I mean, but right or wrong, it was interesting. It was noteworthy.
Yeah, I think he was playing two cards there. I think he was talking to the Northern Ireland audience and telling them how proud he is to be from Northern Ireland. And he was also trying to take a bit of pressure off himself. But, you know, there's so many players at the top of the world. We saw it last week, Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas, Justin Rose. I mean, you look at all those guys, Brooks Koepka, and all the majors he's won the last few years. And there's a lot of conjecture, a lot of talk about who was the best. When they all played their game, who was the best? Certainly, both DJ and Rory played their best last week, and DJ lapped them.
Yeah.
So I think, if Rory was to win a Grand Slam, which DJ is nowhere even close to winning, I think there's a big, strong argument that in this era, you could say Rory is, you know, the guy that's always going to be remembered because he becomes a part of a group that's what only five or six people have ever done in the history of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, that is unbelievably special for a guy from this little island of ours. I mean, sometimes we forget that about what he has achieved. He is deflecting a bit of the. I'd like to see him do something different going into the Masters, you know. And I mean, we talked about, want to do something different going into the Open. I don't think the Open is the problem. You know, he's performed decently in the Open over the years, so he's only won one. But what about doing something different going into the Masters? Because that's really ultimately what it boils down to. And he could argue, that's why I'm not playing. I didn't play the Middle East, for example, this year because I want to stay in America and do not a lot of traveling and see. So again, the proof will be in the pudding. But in some way, I kind of admire this bloody mindedness because this courage of your convictions is a huge part of anybody who's successful in any business.
Yeah, you got to be selfish. Two last questions then. On Tiger Woods, I saw an amazing statistic. First time in his career since 1997, which is effectively his career, that he's had 6 3 putts in back-to-back tournaments. Those Poana greens are no fun at times. What did you make of Woods? How's he looking early doors?
Oh, man, look at this. I mean, he was number one in approach play last week, considering he was coming from 40 yards behind Dustin and Rory in most of those par fours and fives. And I thought it was an incredible performance, the fact that he put himself behind the eight ball so often off the tee. I think ultimately the amount of pressure you're on hole after hole after hole after hole when you're hitting it from 40 yards behind those guys, has a cumulative effect. Everybody says always his putting is gone. But his putting statistics the first 2 days were brilliant. He was fourth in putting after round two. It was only round three and four that he lost it. And he lost it in round three, if you remember, anybody who watched in the 15th hole, which is a par five on and two, easiest hole on the golf course. and he hit in a bunker just short of pin high right, and had a straightforward bunker shot, duffed it out of the bunker shot to 35 feet and then four putted, and then went on to three putt the next hole, and looked like he missed every putt from then on in. So again, I think his swing is in great shape. I think the majors will suit him a little bit more because he can start to pick the golf course apart a little bit more than you can on an aggressive golf course like we've seen this week. I think, if you're a Tiger Woods fan, you're kind of happy. He's trending in the right direction. Yeah. His swing looks really good. There's not a whole lot wrong. If he could just come out and play a little bit more of the modern game and start to get that driver, because when he took the driver out, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't right. Like it was 50 yards offline. If he could just get into his mind to play a little bit more driver off the tee, and maybe Augusta might force him to do that. I think the rest of the facets are there. And again, we all know he has the guile to go ahead and compete, and he showed it again last year.
I presume nobody in recent times has won around Augusta leaving the driver in the bag.
not in the way the golf course is now. Yeah. Though. I mean, they've changed the golf course so much.
It's been tiger-proofed, ironically, hasn't it?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of holes, though, where you can hit three wood and iron off the tee and get away with it. And, you know, keeping the ball below the hole is important around Augusta and giving yourself good looks at the greens. But, yeah, you know, you certainly wouldn't discount him. I think he looks pretty good. He looks pretty good. But he will have to play a little bit more aggressively because these guys have no fear. I mean, when they get on their game and they get confident, they just hit driver everywhere and they bring the golf course to their knees.
Yeah.
Even Augusta National, they can do it around there. And, you know, if you keep going into those greens in Augusta National with a 9-iron like Justin Thomas would do, or DJ or Rory, and then Rory, and he's going in with a 6-iron into these very, very small targets,
yeah,
you know, it's very, very difficult. I mean, you take, is it 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth hole where they put in that new tee box now 50 yards back. I mean, that green, I mean, it's not much bigger than the desk I'm sitting at here, where you're having to land it on. And going in there with a 6-iron compared to going in with a wedge or a 9-iron, like the boys will be doing, it's night and day. The golf course does suit the guy who gets it out there off the tee. There's no doubt about that in Augusta National, because you're hitting then shorter irons in. And as everybody talks, Langer always talked, this is about a second shot golf course. And it's a lot easier to control your second shot than going in with 9 and 8 iron and wedges than you are going in with, you know, 5 and 6 irons. So, but listen, we're talking about Tiger Woods, probably the greatest player we've ever seen in the game. You know, maybe not the most champion, as Butch Hamill would say, but he's maybe the greatest player we've ever seen. And in terms of strategy and all of those things, it's going to be interesting to see how he adapts to this modern game that those other guys are playing.
Yeah. And then lastly, what a weirdly, I can't remember a month like it between Matt Kuchar and then Sergio Garcia and Bryson DeChambeau just taking apart golf courses or practice greens, acting like petulant children. Look, the setter, everything's a business decision ultimately. Matt Kuchar, it's a PR own goal, like an own goal I haven't seen in some time. Whatever about those two, the two lads hacking up golf courses need to be punished. It's outrageous.
Yeah, you know, it's like all of these things in diplomacy, Joe. It's not easy. I'm involved in the tours, you know. As I'm saying, soft football, I moved upstairs a bit now and I'm on the board and involved in what's going on. And what we did in Saudi Arabia with Sergio, which is disqualify him on the spot, you know, when he finished his round. It had never been done in professional golf before. Mm. And I understand the cries to say he should have been banned for 6 months, should have been banned for 3 months. But to go from never having banned anybody for bad behavior to actually disqualifying him on the spot, even though he was one of our top players, was quite a big move. I know it's not a lot for, you know, people wanted more, but it was certainly a big move in terms of the context of professional golf. And I think the next move could be to having a ban as well. So hopefully that's not going to happen again. But, you know, we have moved in a position that no tour had ever moved before. And it's easy to sit back and say, you know, they should have got 3 months, 6 months. But he would have just said, fine, I won't play in Europe. You know,
yeah, sure.
You know, but a lot of this is a bigger story we could talk about some other time. But, you know, the power of the game is all with the players. It's not with the administrating bodies. You know, you look at Rory with the US Open or with the Irish Open this year. You know, the decisions ultimately come down to the player. We put $20 million into the Irish Open this year. And ultimately, we still have to go to Rory McIlroy and Dustin Johnson and all of those guys, Tiger Woods, and say, we've $20 million on the line in Ireland. Will you come and play 2 weeks before the Open? And they go, not really. It doesn't suit me. Sorry. So, you know, we're not in a position where we can demand to the players. And, you know, the scheduling as well this year with the condensed field, you know, has made things even more difficult to get fields. You know, the week after, I heard your show last week, we were talking about what was the week after the Open Championship. And what's on the week after the Open Championship is the FedEx. And the FedEx is a World Golf event this year. Now, FedEx obviously are the bankrollers of the PGA Tour in terms of the FedEx run event. So obviously the PGA Tour are going to pull out all the stops to get a really strong field and make sure FedEx are happy. And secondly, it's a World Golf event where all the top players are playing. Mm. And that's the week after the Open.
Yeah.
So, you know, that period around it's the year is putting a huge pressure on the players to decide on which tournaments over others. And you know, unfortunately, from a from an Irish perspective, you know, the precedence is, you know, the players are going to favour majors and they're going to favour world events before they'll favour even Rolex events on the European Tour.
Yeah, it's incredibly congested, competitive, all right. Listen, fascinating as always. Thanks a million. Appreciate it.
Pleasure, Joe. Good luck with everything. And I'll see you in the Hinch, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks a million.
Good. All right, thank you.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.